Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Future is Golden. I'm Ruthie Kim, and this is a podcast where we explore what it looks like to step fully into your purpose, potential, and influence. I'm super stoked today. I have a good friend here with us on the show. Please welcome Eileen Lee. Hi, Eileen.
Hello.
So good to have you here. Eileen is a visionary designer. She currently works at Apple based here in San Francisco. Eileen is also someone that cultivates creativity through community and curiosity. We're going to dive into some of those topics today. So Eileen and I have a special relationship. We've been friends for many years. And also, I think you've been to almost everything that I have created over these last few years.
That's right.
You were at Golden Maui, Golden San Francisco, various coaching cohorts, coaching with me one-on-one. Like, we have been on this journey.
We've done it all.
And Eileen, what I love about that is it means that we know each other pretty well. And that's why we're having this conversation, because as we're in this topic of courage this season, Eileen, you occur to me as someone that is ongoingly showing so much courage. And I've just loved being on that journey with you. So let's dive in and let's kind of talk about some topics that I think our listeners are going to really relate to. So when you first reached out to me, like maybe 3 years ago, 2 years ago, I don't know when that was.
Yeah, it was right before the Maui.
Right before Golden Maui. Yeah, so that would have been 2022. Mm-hmm. Okay, so a couple of years ago, you reached out and you were interested in doing some coaching, working together. Can you share a little bit about why you reached out? What was going on in your life at that time?
Yeah, I definitely was feeling very stuck in my life. I've done a lot of things career-wise, and at the time, I actually was living in Hawaii, but yeah, there was just something gnawing on me of like, I pretty much have, everything seems fine, but I was feeling isolated, lonely, and just very much sort of like blocked with my creativity, started kind of doubting my identity as a creative, or if I ever was a creative. So I had so many questions. And I also was sort of desiring to be around a group of women.
Yeah.
So that was out there, and which is kind of scary to get involved with a group of women and full on get close immediately, was kind of daunting for me. Mm. I feel like I just came to my wit's end sort of. It hasn't been a long time since I felt this sort of at the bottom of my life, where I would do anything to not feel this or experience this. So I'll do anything to try and to get out of this rut. So if it was to be part of a group of people to just get out of my head and get over myself, then I decided to make that choice.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember you coming to Golden Maui. I remember what a big step that was to kind of say yes to like a community moment, right? Where women are coming together. You didn't know a number of the people that would be there. And then on the heels of that, we had a conversation about coaching. We started working together one-on-one. And I think there was, along the way, there were a number of things that were highlighted as to maybe that you identified as like reasons why you were stuck. Mm-hmm. Would you share like some of those things that came up for you?
Gosh, there were so many revelations to what was going on. It was really powerful just to name what was actually going on with my life. And the two main things I noticed is my way of being very vague in what I want. And that was very much, I think, in some ways so spurred on with focusing too much on other people's expectations, which, you know, naturally you remove yourself from that. And then in order to not feel disappointed or rejection, or it's easier to just be kind of broad and vague or go with the flow. And I thought that was a way to be actually part of my personality, to be spontaneous, like go with whatever is thrown at you, like think, you know, on your feet kind of thing. But man, I did some deep work and I realized this is my way of actually hiding and not really facing what is that I really, really want in my life?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when we first started having conversations together around vision and mm-hmm. what do you want for your future? And, you know, all of those kinds of things and that vagueness with and just in a very tangible, practical way would come out in your responses, kind of like, you know, avoiding really saying what you wanted mm-hmm. in. To your point, like protecting you, like it seemed like it was a form of protection, right?
Absolutely. I mean, there has been things in my life that kind of or happened in my life that I made these narratives or these stories to tell myself that there's no way I can get that, or I've been burned before. I just was too afraid to hope anymore because of that pain and that hurt that I would have gotten from it. So yeah, I think it's just I just became accustomed to sort of not name it or want it. And then I just remember one day, like, what do I want in my life? And it scared me because I couldn't answer it. And then it became so much easier to focus on what other people wanted for me. So that became a way of like feeling like there was purpose of what does this person want? Or valuing other people's opinions too much, or wanting people's validations, people pleasing. Saying this out loud is feels really embarrassing, but that was sort of the truth and the reality that I was living in. And I needed to be honest with that.
Yeah. And I appreciate you naming that because it does feel kind of weird to bring that out vulnerably in a space. And yet I think that's a huge part of like being human, is that we have this stuff that we're just not talking about and we're afraid to hope and we avoid by being vague and not being specific. Eileen, I remember you, we would be talking about it kind of in the vision sense, but then you were saying that you'd seen this vagueness kind of show up in other parts of your life, like dating and relationships.
That's right. It was rampant. It was such a interesting pattern that was happening all over. So yeah, whether it's relationships, even with my friendships, people in my life, especially when you feel like there's been some trauma with your family. So it kind of relationships. So it kind of spawned into even my close friends, people I would date in relationships I would have. And then, yeah, at work. Oh my gosh. Even at work, you know, you work in teams and you have to express what you want and advocating for yourself and all of that. Like, where do I want to go with my career? Where do I want to go in my life? All those things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's powerful.
Okay.
So, Eileen, as we kind of dialed in on the vagueness and realizing that maybe that wasn't serving you, that mm-hmm. maybe there would be a different mindset that would serve you to get to the vision, what shifted for you? What changed?
Well, we stepped into this area that I am very uncomfortable with and I'm still wrestling with, is the idea of being specific to what is that I desire, what is that I want, what is the vision I see, what do I want to get after?
Mm.
And as a creative, that feels like restraining because you want to like open it wide. And then there was a shift where, hold on a second, if I become more specific to being the opposite of vague, what if that means freedom? And so I just started to kind of investigate or be more curious about what that means. And yeah, just stepped into it because, I don't know. Yeah, I think you've kind of sort of pointed out about specificity. And I thought it was, I did in the beginning, did not fully understand what that means. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, practically, I remember like we'd be having a conversation and then I could notice you were kind of drifting off into vagueness. And so there was just that invitation of like, how might specificity here actually serve you? How mm-hmm. might it actually bring you joy? How might it actually allow you to step into the things that you do really want, and whether that was saying, hey, by this timeline, like mm-hmm. Putting time frames on right. things or numbers to things, or just naming those things yeah. versus being those options open. And I do remember that wrestle where like this is just who I am. We just kind of stay vague. But realizing that actually that wasn't allowing you to move forward.
Right. And that's the funny thing. I never called it vague. I thought, well, no, how can anything come up if you're too, like, thinking too, like, rigid. Closed-minded or rigid? Mm-hmm. But then I realized that actually the specificity, if it's freedom, then that means that it opens up for creativity, actually. I just made the realization that that actually opens up possibilities. So in some ways, it felt so opposite, but then it clicked for me how much it actually allowed that. And
yeah. Eileen, there's probably like a number of people who are listening to this podcast who would identify maybe as being creatives or that in the creative industry. And they also maybe resonate with this idea of like, I don't know whether I'm really truly a creative. I mean, I do it, but is that who I am? That was a huge part of your courageous journey, was really owning that. Can you say some more about that?
Yeah, so I feel like ever since, gosh, I can't even remember, ever since I kind of went after what I wanted to do in my career. I mean, this is what I wanted to do when I was in college, and I got my degree in it, and I worked really hard to get to where I am. And it just felt like even then I didn't really believe that I was. I was striving really hard to become creative. And so that just really burned me out. It was just like grinding out like how to prove to people how great I am or how I can succeed. And I was very much in the impression of like I had to do it myself. So I kept a lot to myself and didn't go to my colleagues sometimes, or we're out for ourselves. So, you know, all of that. But then I recognized that I wasn't doing it from the place of being creative, but doing. So just flipping that mindset and then kind of really embodying to say, even if I don't feel it, but this is who I want to become. It's like, I am creative. That's been like life-changing.
I remember that wrestle. I remember the shift from the doing of activity to the being of identity, of like, I'm not just doing creative stuff, but I'm actually identifying as a creative person. And I resonate, like I've never been in the creative visual arts, visionary kind of industry. But I remember my entire life never calling myself creative, probably until like my 30s. And someone challenged me on it because I'd always connected creativity with like art, like creating art. And I was like, I almost failed art at school. Like that was just like, I'm just not wired that way.
Yeah.
And then I realized I am, because everyone is, because to be human is to create.
That's right.
That's just what's in us. Yeah. And when we were at Golden San Francisco, I talked about this idea. I was talking to a room full of women, talking about this idea that we are all descendants of Eve. And if we look at the Hebrew meaning of her name there, it means to bring forth life. And I think people often think of that as having children. And that is a huge part of it, of course. But I really believe in there's like an identity significance that we are descendants from this woman who brought forth life. We as women are bringers of life, bringing forth of life. And that looks like all kinds of creativity. It doesn't just look like motherhood. It looks like creating and producing and writing and directing and entrepreneurship and, you know, all different ways. So when we deny that we are creative, we're totally denying the way that God has created us to be.
Totally. And so, yeah, that was just, from my experience, it was so strange because someone who has been in the industry for so long could be even feeling this.
Yes.
Not feeling creative. And that was really hard for me to share with people because that was shocking. But that was just the truth I was living.
Eileen, I'm wondering, like, as you've made that shift from just doing creative things to being a creative person, what have you seen change in your life?
I can definitely start with work because that's what I do every day. But man, just with that shift, I don't doubt myself as much. And if it does come up, it's easier for me to like pause and recognize where it's coming from. And so, oh my gosh, my work is so much more fun now. And I
Wow.
actually enjoy it. And because I put so much pressure on myself of I need to be a certain way or I need to do a certain way that I fully forgot the joy of it. So now it's like amazing because I just go to work to have fun and I'm like, I get to do this for fun. This is amazing.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's powerful. Like I hear in that like a maybe like a lack of performance too.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Like a I before I was trying to be something, and when we're trying to be something, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And we need that, like you said, that external approval and validation. But when we shift into like this is who I am.
Yeah, and then that reminds me of like, man, feedback used to be so terrifying. And if anyone ever mentioned like I wasn't doing something well or this, I mean, this is the way my brain would work, like every time there's review season. I just didn't want anyone to like point out any of my flaws or what I need to work on because that means I'm failing. But now I see it as like, I know what my limits are. I know what I'm good at. And it just because someone points it out, they're only seeing how I can be better, but not because I'm like less than or, you know. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Eileen, just shifting direction here a little bit to talk about community.
Yes.
So that was one of the things that we have talked a lot about, are talking a lot about. Like you are a person that loves community and builds community and is exploring vision for community. Could you share a little bit about the dinners? I know that we've talked quite a bit about it, and I'd love to just get really practical with maybe our listeners who are thinking, "What I have this dream for community. What does it look like?" Maybe share with us a little bit, like what led you to the point of wanting to throw a dinner, and why is that something that you're giving time and energy to?
Yeah, so one other thing that really hit home for me that unlocked my creativity is that I need community. Community is what, and curiosity around it, and what the potential it can give is what unlocks creativity to individuals and as a group as a whole.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a team mentality because that means like everyone is able to, it's a very abundant mindset of diversity of minds, diversity of ideas and support. And it really highlights the strengths of everyone.
Yeah.
And so it's just really powerful to think that you couldn't even do more as a team. And so I thought, well, what better way to connect people is food? And I think that is very much why that was created is that it'll never go away. And it really is the connecting factor. And there's so much creativity in the making of food and generosity and sharing. I mean, you are literally pulling people together through that vehicle.
Yeah.
So I
Yeah.
thought that would be really fun. And
Did you think it was going to be really fun at the beginning?
oh
just
my
to
God,
back up
of
and
course, yes.
get into the
Second thoughts, like why it couldn't work.
Why no one would
No one
come.
come because, again, like there's been times where I felt like I tried to do something like this and nobody showed up, or yeah, just the idea that there's possible rejection, maybe people aren't into this, or so every time I'd have an idea, I would jump, and this is kind of a pattern all over, but I would jump to the conclusion of what could happen in a bad way, but it wasn't actually happening. So how could I make that judgment, really?
And I imagine that when you're in that pattern, like you have an idea and you jump to no one's going to come, no one cares, no one understands, all of that, then you're stuck in paralysis, I'm guessing. You just don't do the
I
things.
don't do the thing, and then if I don't do it, then I feel bad for not doing it, then I beat myself up for it. So
Yeah.
yeah, it becomes an endless cycle, and you're just not happy at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this time you did it.
I
so
did
what
it.
Was different this time? What made you go, yes, I am gonna commit to this idea and I'm gonna bring people together over this dinner?
I did it because it's a step into specificity.
Mm.
I'm being very intentional who I'm inviting, why I'm doing this dinner, all of it. Just being very intentional about the gathering but how did I get rid of those like fears of people not showing up? I realized it had nothing to do with the outcome. Mm-hmm. It had everything to do with me taking the courage to just do it, because that's me honoring that desire, honoring that decision.
Yeah.
So I felt very much more like, well, maybe people won't show up. What is the worst that could happen, that if people don't show up? And it doesn't matter, because I took the step of embracing integrity for myself to do the thing I said I would do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people did show up.
People did show up. I think my inclination was that I just wanted to gather people with a creative background and in my life. And that was everything from someone who has no idea that they're creative or think they're not, and then someone who's actually practicing it, who has a great hobby around it, just a diverse amount of people who have different takes on creativity.
Mm.
And also really, and affirming that towards one another of how creative we all are and how we can learn from one another. And then having that spiritual aspect of it too, of like how that is actually, you know, I have this desire to even let people in the Christian community, like, this is part of who we are. And
yeah,
that's not really being taught, I don't think. Especially in churches, or in Christianity. So like it becoming more of a spiritual practice, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
and how we can support one another in our endeavors, in our ideas, in any process of the creative process, I suppose, even if it's like a seed of an idea or, you need help executing it. So
yeah,
it just becomes like the safe space, like a liminal space to be messy and work out any issues you have, or be able to have like a place where you feel seen and heard and safe to share.
Yeah.
Because you never know what could really be a vision that's needed in this community.
Yeah. Eileen, I watched you take that journey of like, hey, hang on, I'm a creative and I want to get really specific about that. Through to, now I don't just want to do it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I want to journey with other people, and looking around and realizing if that was going to happen, you had to create it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right before we were having this conversation, Eileen, I told you like, hey, I'm going to ask you at the end about kind of encouragements around courage and what you would say. And you named like, oh, I'm in it right now.
Yeah.
You're in some form of discomfort
mm-hmm.
that you're experiencing as needing courage. What is that? What is going on right now?
Oh, yeah. And we're telling ourselves we're celebrating this. I think even just last week we were just talking and how I'm so uncomfortable in the place I'm in right now. And usually I would do my usual avoid and not think about it or whatnot. And I think I was reminded how this is part of the transformation, or this is a part of the change that I just need to stick through, because it's happening. And every time there's growth, I think that stretch does happen. There's a reason why it's called stretching.
But I do remember you coming into our call last week feeling like something's wrong. Like the way I'm feeling.
Because I felt stuck.
Yeah.
I felt like for some reason I'm not moving forward. That's how the discomfort felt like. I'm like, is it getting better? Am I getting, you know, stuck again? Or, but my awareness or the fact that I'm being persistent or persevering through that, and it's not like I'm not working on it. I am.
So, Eileen, just as we wrap up, I know there's a lot of listeners that may be resonating with your story. What words of encouragement would you have to share as it relates to courage, as it relates to creative stepping into who they're called and designed to be? What comes up for you?
Yeah, I think I'd say if, especially if you're feeling stuck and not feeling encouraged, which is interesting because the whole point of this podcast was about stepping forward. And I think as a creative, in order to be unstuck, the antidote is to create. So not to forget that there's always a way out, and that essentially we'll never be stuck.
That's awesome. Thank you, Eileen, so much for being with us today, sharing your story, and thank you for tuning in for another episode of The Future is Golden.